Amen. I love those songs, don't you? I requested that we sing Dixie, but I don't get my request. Amen. I think we could whistle it. I don't know the words, but I could whistle it. Amen. But I'm just kidding about that. But it is good to be in the house of God. Let me welcome again, Brother and Sister Hall. Glad they're here and back from their trip. I also want to welcome Sampson Pleasant and his family. Amen. With us today. Glad they're here with us today. And then all of you that are here, we're glad and want to pray for those that are not able to be with us this morning. Lord bless and help there. All right. 2 Samuel chapter number 1. 2 Samuel chapter number 1. Amen. I can't get used to these Pleasant boys being grown up and having their own family now. Amen. I just can't get used to that. But I'm glad they're with us today. Amen. 2 Samuel chapter number 1. I'm going to begin reading in verse number 12. 2 Samuel chapter 1 verse 12. And then I'm going to jump around and read a little bit on down. By the way, let me say this while we're getting ready to start, that those songs we sang, those patriotic songs, stir something in me. And I think they ought to be honest with you. Because I am thankful for America. But you know what makes America great? God.
Amen.
Amen. That we sang that first song, talked about the first patriotic one there, My Country, 'Tis Thee, said God is the author of liberty. And that's right. You don't have liberty unless you have God. By the way, we're losing our liberties because
right.
we're pushing out God.
Right.
Amen. And then that last one we just sang said, I have seen him in the watchfires of 100 circling camps. You know what that woman had done? She had walked through the areas where the soldiers were camped, and she saw them reading their Bibles by the fire, by the campfire. I can read his righteous sentence, that's what she said, by the dim and flaring lamps. There's revival in America throughout that Civil War. Amen. That really spared our nation. Amen. It would have tore it completely asunder if not for the grace of God. I believe that. Amen. All right. Well, having said that, 2 Samuel chapter 1 and verse number 12. And they mourned and wept and fasted even until even for Saul and for Jonathan his son and for the people of the Lord and for the house of Israel, because they were fallen by the sword. Now, the occurrence going on here is the death of Saul, King Saul, and his son Jonathan, the defeat at the hand of the Philistines that caused the death of these great men. Look at verse 17. And David lamented with this lamentation over Saul and over Jonathan, his son. Also, he bade them teach the children of Judah the use of the bow. Behold, it is written in the book of Jasher, the beauty of Israel, these are his words, the beauty of Israel is slain upon thy high places. How are the mighty fallen? Tell it not in Gath. Publish it not in the streets of Askelon, lest the daughters of the Philistines rejoice, lest the daughters of the uncircumcised triumph. Ye mountains of Gilboa, let there be no dew, neither let there be rain upon you, nor fields of offerings, for there the shield of the mighty is vilely cast away, the shield of Saul, as though he had not been anointed with oil. From the blood of the slain, from the fat of the mighty, the bow of Jonathan turned not back, and the sword of Saul returned not empty. Saul and Jonathan were lovely and pleasant in their lives, and in their death they were not divided. They were swifter than eagles. They were stronger than lions. Ye daughters of Israel, weep over Saul, who clothed you in scarlet with other delights, who put on ornaments of gold upon your apparel. How are the mighty fallen in the midst of the battle? O Jonathan, thou wast slain in thine high places. I am distressed for thee, my brother Jonathan. Very pleasant hast thou been unto me. Thy love to me was wonderful, passing the love of women. How are the mighty fallen and the weapons of war perished? Let's go to the Lord in prayer at this time. Brother Gary Hall, would you lead us in prayer, please?
Our Father, I'm thankful, Lord, this day.
Yes.
Grateful,
thankful. Yes.
Thank you, Lord, for the heritage that you have.
Thank you, Lord. Yes.
Thank you, Lord, for those who have gone
laid the trails of glory and provided liberty for us here.
Yes.
The power of our God. We thank you, Lord, for your work in our country and for your power that's been displayed.
Yes, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
And Lord, more than that, I'm a citizen of heaven.
Yes, thank you.
That has been born again.
Yes.
I pray that you have blessed the service today. Help us preach it through and our hearts be tender, receptive to thy word. Give us grace and more. Give America help.
Yes, please, Lord. Please help us. Please help us. Yes.
We need divine help from above.
Yes, we do.
Lord, you provide us, God. I pray that you, friend, help the sick. Help those
who
have lost loved ones.
Yes.
Family and Steve and blood and family. I pray in a special way that you give them help in this hour. Young
family
in Georgia,
Amen. 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 Thank you for standing. You can be seated. I'm going to comment just a moment or two about what I read, then get into my message. One thing in verse number 26, where David talking about Jonathan. And how pleasant it was and how much he loved Jonathan. He said his love for Jonathan passed the love for women. Because we live in such a perverted day, I need to remark that David was not talking about a sodomite relationship. Amen. He was not talking about some kind of perverted relationship. He was talking about the camaraderie of men. He was talking about the fact there is a relationship that men can have with men that is different than the relationship of a man and a woman. And that's not talking about sexual relations. That's talking about just that friendship and that familiarity and that sort of thing. David was a soldier. Jonathan was a soldier. And David said, we had something we shared that surpassed what we could share with our wife or with another person there. And so he's dealing with that memorial for these two fallen soldiers. That's what I'm preaching on today. I recognize that this is Memorial Day weekend. Tomorrow will be the day that we call Memorial Day. And I'll say something about that in just a moment. But this scriptural, this day is a scriptural day. And we have scriptural reference that David given a memorial to fallen soldiers in his day. And I think that it's right. Now, let me remark about this day being Memorial Day. To many, this day just marks the beginning of summer vacations. This day marks the beginning of summer holidays. The day when we begin outdoor grilling and summer picnics. But it's supposed to be a day when we honor those that have fallen that our nation might stand. Those who have died in honor to preserve our nation, they died in service to our country. Memorial Day was originally called Decoration Day. It was set aside to honor those men that died in the war between the states, commonly called the Civil War. According to World Book Encyclopedia, here's a quote. The people of Waterloo, New York, first observed Memorial Day on May the 5th, 1866, to honor soldiers who had died in the Civil War. Now, I don't know why they changed the date, unless it's because that was Cinco de Mayo. That day was already taken. Amen. And so they moved it to where we have it today. But on that day, May the 5th, 1866, businesses were closed. People decorated soldiers' graves and flew the American flag at half-mast. Today, again, still quoting from World Book Encyclopedia, Memorial Day is a patriotic holiday in the United States to honor Americans who gave their lives for our country. Amen. Sadly, too many people presently living in our country do not know much about honoring others.
Amen.
Let alone honoring soldiers. Amen. They don't know much about patriotism in our day. Amen. For us to properly appreciate the blessings we enjoy, we must first remember that there were battles faced. Amen. Peace is never brought by a piece of paper. Peace is purchased with the blood of men and boys. Amen. Amen. That's how peace is purchased. There are battles that men were willing to fight and lay down their lives that we might have the protection and the benefit of the fellow citizen. Amen. That we might be able to preserve the sanctity of our nation and the solidity of our nation. Amen. Allow me to give a few words by way of introduction about the word patriot and the word patriotic. This is an English word that comes from the Latin word patrios. That means of one's father. That's what it means. Of one's father. It carries the idea of allegiance to the fatherland. By the way, that's what we used to call our country. Our fatherland. Amen. Our fatherland. Land where our fathers died. Amen. Our fatherland. That's been changed to homeland now. Because that's a little bit more properly correct. It could be motherland as well as fatherland. Amen. And so we just call it homeland. But it means, according to American Heritage Dictionary, the word patriot or patriotic means a person who loves, supports, and defends his country. Amen. Webster's 1828 Dictionary of the English Language gives the following definition of patriotism. Quote, love of one's country, the passion which aims to serve one's country, either in defending it from invasion or protecting its rights and maintaining its laws and institutions in vigor and purity. Patriotism is the characteristic of a good citizen. That's what Webster said in 1828. Patriotism is a characteristic of good citizens. That means if you're not patriotic, you're not a good citizen. That's exactly what it means. I'm reading Webster's 1828 dictionary. Amen. It says, the noblest passion that animates a man in character of a citizen. Amen. And I say this, would include standing at attention and honoring the singing of the national anthem. This would include the fearless wearing of a pin replicating the American flag, not being afraid to wear such apparel. Amen. This would include not standing idly by while some foreign dictator or dignitary, such as the president of Mexico or the president of Venezuela or of Iran, lambasts and bashes our country's laws and our country's citizens. Amen. I say patriotism means standing up for our nation. Amen. Now today, if you'll allow me to, I'd like to take a few moments and give God thanks and give God praise for the men and boys that have laid down their lives that we could have the liberties and the freedoms that we enjoy. Amen. That we can read the Bible in English. Amen. If not for some men that laid down their lives, we'd be speaking German today. Or we'd be speaking Japanese today. Or we'd be dead and in hell today. Amen. But by the grace of God, God's given us men that laid down their lives. And that's what these days are about, is about honoring those men that stood, that we might enjoy the freedoms and the privileges that we take for granted every single day. Amen. I'd like to show you from the Bible some biblical basis for patriotism and for honoring our fallen soldiers. First of all, right here in our text, my first point is David honored the heroism of Jonathan and Saul. David honored them. Look at these verses with verse 12. And they mourned and wept and fasted until even for Saul and for Jonathan his son and for the people of the Lord and for the house of Israel. And here's my phrase, because they were fallen by the sword. Look at verse number 18 and 19. Also he bade them teach the children of Judah, here's my phrase, the use of the bow. That's a weapon of war. Behold, it is written in the book of Jasher, the beauty of Israel is slain upon the high places. A phrase I underline, how are the mighty fallen? Amen. Look at verse 21. Ye mountains of Gilboa, let there be no dew, neither let there be rain upon you, nor fields of offerings. For there, here's my phrase, the shield of the mighty is vilely cast away. The shield of Saul, as though he had not been anointed with oil. From the blood of the slain, from the fat of the mighty, the bow of Jonathan turned not back, and the sword of Saul returned not empty. Jump down to verse 25. How are the mighty fallen in the midst of battle? O Jonathan, thou wast slain in thy high places. Verse number 27, how are the mighty fallen? The weapons of war perished. I want you to notice that David, in speaking of these men, he spoke of their weapons of warfare, bows and swords. He talked about shields. He talked about their might. He talked about their unity. He talked about their valor. He spoke of their bravery and those great things that they had done in their life. Now, I'll have to say, we know that all soldiers are not good men. Some are terrible drunkards. Some are whoremongers. Some are blasphemers. Yet all those who dedicated their lives to the fighting for the good of our country should be honored for that sacrifice. Amen. Jonathan was a good man. Saul had been a good man and allowed things to change him and warp him into a man that was not so good. And yet when he died, both of these died as soldiers fighting for the nation of Israel and for the God of Israel. Amen. By being slain by the enemy, both of these men were honored by David for their valor and for their might in battle. Now, let me say this. I believe it's right that just like this, likewise, we certainly wouldn't want to, our children to follow the example of some men. For example, George Patton was a great general, but he had a filthy mouth. Amen. And could say a lot of things about a lot of other things. U.S. Grant apparently had some wisdom as a general, but he was a sot drunk. Amen. And just on things, we could talk about things like that, that was bad about them, but the fact that they dedicated their lives, or that they, as many men gave their lives for their nation, and Saul and Jonathan gave their life for their nation, and so they were honored for that. We would do well to teach our sons and our daughters the heroism of those that have gone before us. Amen. We ought to teach them the valor of those who have fought for, and those that have died for the freedoms that our country enjoys. Amen. By the way, if we're going to raise up a generation willing to fight, and I don't just mean fight, willing to stand, then they got to know that there was a generation behind them that stood, that paid, amen, that paid the great price. In our schools and homes, we ought to teach our children about such heroes as General George Washington, General Robert E. Lee, General Thomas Stonewall Jackson, General Douglas MacArthur. Amen. General George Patton, Lieutenant Colonel Jimmy Doolittle. Amen. Amen. Colonel Oliver North, General David Petraeus. David Petraeus let down his guard and made a mess of his life in latter years, but he was valiant on the battlefield, thank God. Amen. Again, I say we don't want our children to follow every habit or every action of these great men, yet they were great because they stood in battle and they gave forth those victories that we have. Now, these men that I mentioned did not die in battle. Thomas Stonewall Jackson did. These other men that I mentioned did not necessarily die in battle, but they stood and they ought to be honored for their stand instead of being degraded, instead of being demoralized, amen, instead of being denounced, amen. They ought to be defended and they ought to be praised and they ought to be honored, and we ought to thank God for giving us such men as this, amen. David eulogized the life and death of these two soldiers. He did not mention their bad traits. As if he forgot it. Their bad traits were dimmed in light of the fact that they gave their life for the sake of his life and the lives of others. Amen. David did not mention their bad traits. Secondly, he did not manufacture good traits. He didn't give them purple hearts that they didn't deserve. Say amen right there. Amen. He simply exalted the good things that they had done and the patriotism, amen, toward their God and their country. I believe that's proper. That's what these days are. I'm not pro-military. I'm not, and I understand situations that's going on. And things. When my boys were growing up, I would not have been ashamed of them joining the military. Matter of fact, if there had been a draft, I'd have been ashamed of them to have dodged it. Say amen right there. Amen. But I didn't promote them to go because I do know and do have some fear of what goes on in some of those places, some of those things. And I know that we're dealing with that here. But I'm saying this. It is an honorable thing to stand for your nation. It is an honorable thing to fight, if must be, against those that are evil and those that are going against the things that God said we ought to stand for. Amen. I believe God gave us this country. Amen. And God give us the strength to maintain it and keep it. Amen. Stand for it when the time comes, as I believe it is coming. Amen. Our battles in these days are more raging from within than they are from without. Amen. I believe that's right. Turn with me to Joshua chapter number 1. I said that David eulogized these men. Let me show you some traits that I believe heroic soldiers ought to have. Joshua chapter number 1. Some traits, I believe important traits of heroic soldiers. And by the way, Paul, in talking to Timothy and telling him to be a good Christian, told him to be a good Christian soldier. Amen. He told him to war a good warfare. And Paul, when talking about his own ministry, called it a warfare. Amen. Fighting a good fight. Amen. Chapter 1, verse number 12 of Joshua, the Bible said, "And to the Reubenites, and to the Gadites, and to the half-tribe of Manasseh, spake Joshua, saying, Remember the word which Moses thy servant, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, The Lord your God hath given you rest, and hath given you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side Jordan. But ye shall pass before your brethren armed, all the mighty men of valor, and help them until the Lord have given your brethren rest, as He hath given you. And they also have possessed the land which the Lord your God giveth them. Then ye shall return unto the land of your possession and enjoy it which Moses, the Lord's servant, gave you on this side Jordan toward the sun rising. And they answered Joshua, saying, All that thou commandest us, we will do. And whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go. According as we hearkened unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee as he was with Moses. Whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandment and will not hearken unto thy words in all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of a good courage." So Joshua goes to these men, if you remember, Reuben and Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh decided they didn't want to cross Jordan River. They wanted to stay, and I know it's on the wrong side of the Jordan River. They wanted to stop short of the promises of God and the provision that God had given them. And Moses commanded them, when you go to battle, you've got to go battle with them or else you'll make their heart faint. And Joshua reminded them of that and told them, you've got to go to battle with your brethren rather than settling in your country, rather than having the peace and safety and enjoying the comforts of home, you're going to have to go to battle with your brethren so that they can enjoy those things. Listen, there's always going to be war until Jesus comes. There'll be no peace until the Prince of Peace comes. Amen. Only false peace with the Antichrist. Amen. Amen. So if there's going to be war, there needs to be some heroes. Amen. Can I say, and I don't mean to get ugly, but a hero is not a man that can dunk a basketball. A hero is not a man that can hit a ball across a fence. A hero is not a man that can run fast. A hero is a man that stands between life and death that he might spare others. Amen. Amen. I didn't mean to get up on that, but that gets in under me. Amen. That's our heroes, by the way. Amen. Well, let me give you three traits real quickly, and I'll be done. Three traits of importance for heroic soldiers. Number one, they're willing to leave their homes and family to fight for their neighbors and their country. Amen. He said in verse number 14, "Your wives, your little ones, and your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side Jordan. But ye shall pass before your brethren armed, all the mighty men of valor, and help them." Amen. Amen. So he's saying them, they've got to leave. They've got to be willing to leave their homes and leave their families to fight for their neighbors and for their country. Amen. We're coming up before too long on a day remembered as Father's Day. Do you know when we celebrate Father's Day with our children, some fathers will be fighting and serving on other soil away from their children and away from their family so that you and I can celebrate Father's Day with our children and with our family. Amen. Amen. As we sit down to Sunday dinner today, some of our neighbors are eating field rations. Amen. Keeping a vigilant eye at the enemy that's coming. Amen. Some little boys and girls will never give their dad a Father's Day card. They'll never be able to sing happy birthday to their dad because he laid down his life that we could enjoy the freedoms that we have. Amen. That we could be free. While we go to stores and take advantage of the sales on Memorial Day, or while we enjoy time off from work and an opportunity to grill out, some of our neighbors are visiting gravesites. Some of our neighbors are weeping over loved ones that they will never see again, grieving over a son, a father, a grandfather, an uncle, someone who paid the ultimate sacrifice for our nation. Amen. Surely I say these men ought to be honored. Amen.
Amen.
We owe these men a debt of gratitude for their sacrifice that our star-spangled banner might still wave over the land of the free and the home of the brave. Amen. The least we can do is thank God for giving us such soldiers. Amen. Amen. Listen, a holiday is supposed to be a holy day. That's what it's supposed to mean. A holy day. Now, I'm not saying that you're not supposed to, that you're not allowed to work, that you're, you know, all that, but I'm saying this. We ought to give God glory. Surely we're not here to praise men, but when men do valiant things, we ought to thank God for giving us those valiant men. Amen. Surely give them roses while they're living. Give them flowers while they're living. I'm not against giving flowers on their graves. I think those things are nice. Those things are honorable. But I'm saying ultimately our glory goes to God. Amen. Because it's God that gives us zeal. It's God that gives us courage. It's God that raises up a man and makes him brave rather than a coward. Amen. Amen. God said this. He said when the nation of Israel was going to battle, He said, if I'm with you, He said, one of you is going to chase 1,000. Two of you is going to chase 10,000. But He said, if I'm not with you, you're going to be the ones running. Amen. I'm telling you, we ought to thank God that He's given us some soldiers that were brave. Amen. We ought to remember them as heroes and we ought to make their heroism known. Amen. Amen. They were willing to leave their homes and their family to fight for their neighbors and their God. Number two, they follow their leader into dangerous territory to fight for their country and their God. Again, verse number 14. Down through 16, your wives, your little ones, and your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side Jordan. But you shall pass before your brethren armed, all the mighty men of valor, and help them until the Lord have given your brethren rest as He hath given you, and they also have possessed the land which the Lord your God giveth them. Then ye shall return unto the land of your possessions and enjoy it which Moses, the Lord's servant, gave you on this side Jordan toward the sun rising. And they answered Joshua, saying, all that thou commandest us, we will do. Whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go. Amen. They're willing to follow their leader into dangerous situations, dangerous territories, and fight for their country and for their God. Down through the centuries, the United States of America has been blessed with sons who were willing to go to war and fight against Arabs and Muslims and Catholics and Nazis and communists and atheists. Amen. Amen. So that our nation might stand free. Amen. That our nation might stay safe. Amen. Thank God for men that are willing to leave the comforts of home. Men that were willing to go into dangerous situations that we might be free. Amen. Most of the heroes of our American military have endured great hardships of physical desperation. They've endured mental assault, hunger, danger, separation from loved ones, and even misunderstanding or misrepresentation from the public and from the media in our homeland. Amen. We should never glorify war. We should never glorify battle, but we should be careful to remember that it is inevitable in a fallen world. There are going to be evil men and seducers that are going to wax worse and worse until Jesus comes. Amen. There's going to be wars and rumors of wars. Amen. There's going to be dictators arise. There's going to be those that will seek to gain powers that they might destroy and bring destruction. And one of the reasons they're doing that is because they hate God. The nations of the world and the kings of the earth have gathered together and they're blaspheming God and they're hating God and they're wanting to cast off His bonds from them. Amen. Somebody's got to stand. Amen. Our country must be guarded. Amen. Our country must be protected. It must be defended. And those countries must be battled and guarded against their evil that tries to come to our shores. Amen. Those brave men and boys that have stood up for us and paid the price for freedom are to be remembered and they're to be honored. I believe that's right. God is to be thanked. And God is to be praised for giving us such dedicated men. Amen. My third point, and my last one, they were willing to dedicate themselves to the task and wish that traitors and cowards be shot. Look at the text, verse 16. Joshua 1, verse 16. And they answered Joshua, saying, "All that thou commandest us, we will do, and whithersoever thou leadest, sendest us, we will go. According as we hearken unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee, as he was with Moses. Whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandment, and will not hearken unto thy words in all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of a good courage." It's amazing to me that Joshua is encouraged throughout the book of Joshua. Moses started that in the book of Deuteronomy, but throughout the book of Joshua, Joshua is encouraged, be strong and of a good courage. You know why? Because a strong leader produces strong followers. A courageous leader provokes courageous followers. Amen. My dad said this sometime back. He talked to me about pastoring, and I think he's right. He said, and he's talking about a family. He said, people will follow a man if they know they can trust him. They'll follow him to the ends of the earth if they know they can trust him that he's going to do his best and he's going to try to do the best for them. Amen. But if they doubt you, they won't follow you. Amen. Amen. And there's truth in that, so we've got to be careful. Well, let me just say this. We have always had turncoats. You remember Benedict Arnold? You may not know the story, but you remember the name and what that name is synonymous with. Amen. His name is synonymous with traitor. His name is synonymous with treason. His name is synonymous with treacherous behavior. Now look that word traitor up. T-R-A-I-T-O-R, traitor. And it comes from a Latin word, trader, T-R-A-D-E-R. He trades his nation for his benefit. He is a traitor. Amen. Benedict Arnold was a traitor. There have always been turncoats, but they have previously been branded cowards and traitors, not promoted to the office of U.S. Secretary of State or the office of President and Commander-in-Chief. It used to be different. I'm just asking. Amen. It used to be that traitors were named for what they were. Amen. But it seems to me that our public media wants to elevate the despicable. Amen. And they want to denounce the heroes. I'm saying there have been some heroes that stood the test. Amen. That paid the price. And we ought to recognize them and we ought to honor them. Amen. Amen. Our country needs men and women that will stand against the enemies of our nation. Amen. Well, wherever they raise their ugly head. Whether it be on foreign soil or at the United Nations or in our colleges and universities. Amen. We need to stand up for our country. I believe that's right. Amen. Now, I'm convinced that we need to start studying and teaching history again in our nation. Amen. And I have the privilege now to preach a little bit to homeschoolers. I encourage you, teach history. Amen. I didn't like history when I was in school. Matter of fact, I don't know. I do know what it was. I wasn't right with God's what it was. I didn't like American history. I loved reading about Roman history or Egyptian history or world history, but I didn't like to read about American history. But when I got right with God, all of a sudden I fell in love with American history. Amen. Because God is in American history. Amen. God is in American history. I'm not talking about making America your God. I'm talking about America making God God again, because He is God. Amen. Recognizing Him for what He is. But we need to teach our children history again. We need to remark to them and talk to them about history of our nation. Our children need to know about the struggles that have gone on before them. Amen. Amen. All the blessings we enjoy today didn't just happen. And it wasn't because of the capitalistic system that we got all these blessings. And thank God for the capitalistic system. But I'm saying it was because of the blood, sweat, tears of those that gave their life that we could have what we've got. Amen. And they need to know it's not been easy. It's been hard to get where we've got. Amen. It's not because they invented credit cards that we can have what we've got. Amen. It's because people gave their labors and even gave their lives. Amen. We need to know about the patriotism and the selflessness of our forefathers. I love to read about George Washington. I love to read about him. George Washington, as far as I know, is the only man ever elected president that didn't want a job. He didn't want a job. Amen. And George Washington, I recognize they bring up all kinds of dirt. By the way, I don't believe half of the dirt that Hollywood says about these men. Amen. Amen. Because Hollywood's full of filth, and they're going to do their best to bring out the filth and show that spotlight so they can feel good about what they've done. Amen. I'm not saying that George Washington was perfect, but I am saying thank God for men like that that stood and had some character and had some boldness and recognized God in their life. Amen. And got God in our country. They need to know about our forefathers, the patriotism and the selflessness. Read about Valley Forge. Amen. Amen. The frostbite, the hunger. Amen. The nakedness, the fear, the uncertainty. And God gave us the victory over the greatest empire the world had known at that time, the British Empire. It was not we had a ragtag bunch that overwhelmed them. It was just like in Gideon's day. God gave us the victory, thank God. Amen. But thank God for men that's willing to march through the snow barefoot. Amen. Thank God for men that's willing to lay down their lives that we might have the victories we have. Amen. Our children need to know about the horrors and terrors of communism, fascism, racism, Catholicism, and socialism. They need to know about that. It's been our enemies throughout our nation's history, and they need to know about the terrors and the horrors of those things. Amen. Now, I'm concluding with this thought. You say, what's this got to do with us? Well, we're the ones teaching this generation. We're the ones entrusted with the truth. And I'll give you, and I'm talking about American history, but I'm giving you Bible of what a hero is. I'm giving you Bible that there is a principle and a practice in the Bible of honoring heroes that have fallen. Amen. Throughout our nation's prestigious history, the greatest patriots and the greatest sacrifices have come from religious quarters. Are you listening? Amen. It has been well documented that George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, and Benjamin Franklin gave credit to the Baptist people. It's well documented. And to Baptist preachers for being the greatest friends of liberty. That's their phrase. Thank God. Amen. Liberty, the idea of soul liberty did not come in the Constitution. It came through that Bible and Baptist doctrine. Amen. Which is Bible doctrine. Amen. That's what it is. And that's how we got the idea of liberty, thank God. And Patrick Henry, when he said, give me liberty or give me death, he was saying that defending Baptist preachers who wouldn't accept the step from England to preach the gospel. Amen.
Amen.
Thank God. Amen. Well, we've been known as the greatest friends of liberty throughout the Revolutionary War. It's time for Baptist people to pray for their country again. The weapons of our warfare are not muskets and swords and shields. Amen. It's not even ARs and all those things. Although I'm not against you having those things. Amen. Not against it. But I'm saying the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. What's our weapons? Prayer and faith in God. I believe that. Amen. I believe what helped our soldiers in the past, thank God for their weapons, thank God for those that helped make bullets and helped get them the gunpowder and helped get all the stuff together that we could stand and we could fight. Amen. Thank God for all of that, all the strategies, all the labor, all the food, all those things that went in to give us that. But I'm telling you, American people have been known as praying people, and they prayed for their boys that went to war in World War I, the great war, the war to end all wars, they said. What a laugh that is, by the way. Amen. But that great war, when they sent them overseas, our mama stayed home and prayed and begged God to bring our boys back. Church's doors were opened 24 hours a day. People coming in and praying, and God blessed and brought our boys back, and did the same thing in World War II, did the same thing in Korea, did the same thing in Vietnam, has done the same thing throughout the Persian conflict. I'm telling you, we need to pray like we've never prayed for our nation. Amen. The call, I believe the call of the day is a call back to prayer for our nation. We can complain about it. We see where it's going. Listen, we're headed towards socialism. It won't be the communists overtake us. We're giving ourselves to them hand over fist.
Right. Yeah.
Our world's headed just right to the devil with all this mess going on, legalizing sodomy. Amen.
Yeah,
amen. Making that it's all right and it's wrong to say anything against it. How are we going to stop it? We've got to pray. That's the only way. It's the only way. I believe it's time for us to pray for our country again. It's time for us to begin to take a stand for the issues that face our nation, which have spiritual, moral, and civil repercussions. Amen. Let's thank God and give Him praise for giving our country such brave men and boys. Amen. Let's honor the memory by our words, by our prayers, and by our own patriotic actions. Amen. Let's remember to uphold that last verse of the Star Spangled Banner. Here's what Francis Scott Key said in that last verse. He said, "Oh, thus be it ever, when free men shall stand between their loved homes and war's desolation. Blessed with victory and peace, may the heaven-rescued land praise the power that hath made and preserved us a nation. Then conquer we must when our cause it is just. And this be our motto, in God is our trust. And the star-spangled banner in triumph shall wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave."
Amen.
Amen. We need to put our trust in the Lord and ask Him to save our nation. Amen. Let's stand to our feet all over the house. Heads bowed and eyes closed as they come with a song. We'll take a time for invitation. If the Lord's spoken to you, you need to make a move to the altar or a move to pray. I'll give you that opportunity to do so. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank You for Your love and mercy and grace bestowed so abundantly, so prestigiously upon us, Thy people. I thank You, Lord, for our nation. As Brother Ricky said, and reminded of Brother Brother Ballou saying it, "Lord, I want to thank You that I was born in America by the grace of God. Lord, I want to thank You that I was born in this day. In spite that America's had glory days, and these are not our glory days. Lord, what a day when we can call on God and we can beg God and we can trust God to give us glory again. And that glory will only come when we give God the glory that You so rightly deserve. Father, I pray for our leaders. Lord, would You give us some godly leaders? You could make godly leaders out of them. You can change their heart. You can change their mind, their way of thinking. And dear God, I pray You'd give us godly leaders. And I pray, God, You'd give us some godly men that'll stand again. Men that'll stand in the home. Men that'll stand in the church. Men that'll stand for the nation. And Lord, You get the glory. I pray, dear God, You'd take these words and draw sinners that they too might be saved and know the freedom, the peace of salvation. Lord, I pray You get the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. While we sing, if you need to come, obey the Lord.